The sieve that is the southern border. The crimes and drugs and guns which have come back and forth across that border is well documented. I mean, just Google it up. There's like 10,000 pages. From the left, from the right, doesn't matter what. Google up State of Texas National Guard, whatever. I want to hear that it's not happening. It's absolutely happening. With this influx of criminals over the southern border and the tamping down of ICE's ability through his henchmen at the DHS and elsewhere and the Department of Justice, if you have criminals coming across an open border, do you think that keeps Americans safe? I think there were 600,000 plus crimes in Texas alone. Tens of thousands of them violent crimes, rape, murder, violent stuff. A lot of that involving guns. You think that keeps Americans safe? Of course, maybe he doesn't consider Texans Americans. Who knows what he thinks? And do you think not being able to say the words Islamic extremism, jihadi, Muslim terrorists, do you think that keeps us safe? Do you think not having anything to say about this poor cop that was almost killed in Philadelphia by an avowed, self-avowed Muslim extremist, not having a peep to say about that, you think that keeps us safe? Do you think that the promotion of Black Lives Matter and the war on police, particularly right now, keeps us safe? Do you think that, and I'm going to give you stats here, do you think that there's federal agencies, let me back up a little bit. Federal agencies were supposed to provide a new report to Congress on visa overstays since 1994, okay? That's a 20-year-old law, totally ignored, not just by this president, by other presidents, by the Congress, but particularly by this president in the last 7 years. I'm going to quote this. The biometric exit system has yet to be put in place. Well, folks, if the biometric system is not in place, tell me about all this, the lies we've been fed about the biometric screening that the Syrian refugees that Barack Obama wants to bring to this country, how that's going to be implemented if it's not in place. Do you know that this week, I think it was yesterday, the day before, the FBI arrested kind of the ringleaders of two cells, both of whom are Syrian refugees that supposedly were fully vetted by this non-existent biometric system, according to testimony in Congress. One in Texas and one in California. That's just two guys that the 10,000 guys haven't gotten here yet. Do you think he wants to keep you safe? You think his safety, you think your safety is his concern? He still wants to bring these Syrian refugees in after what just happened in Europe a week ago? And these two arrests by the FBI of Syrian refugees who are already here? Not American citizens, Syrian refugees. There's a 1997 report by the Immigration and Naturalization Service that the people who overstay their visas are about 40% of visas. This is somewhere around 5 million people, folks. And in this hearing just a few weeks ago, the former Secretary of Homeland Security told Congress that they don't know where any of these people are. The current folks involved with this at Homeland Security visas told Congress the same thing. They don't know. Google this up if you want. All you doubting Thomas liberals who like to listen to me because you hate what I have to say. Google it up. They don't know how many there are, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know where they are. 5 million people. That is not counted in the ranks of illegal aliens or the tens of thousands pouring across the southern border every month. But he wants to keep you safe. You bet. My butt. By the way, getting that system fixed was one of the most important recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. Who, by the way, two of the 9/11 hijackers were guys who overstayed their visas. Just a little sidelight for you. And by the way, the Department of Homeland Security in their testimony said millions have been spent trying to correct this. Millions? Mere millions? This guy spent $2 billion on the Obamacare website, which still doesn't work. I brought you a report, I don't know, three, four, five shows ago, whenever it was, where the government spent $1 billion for one page of a website they were redoing. But they've spent millions on trying to get the visa thing under control and adhere to a 20-year-old law in a time of terrorism. 20 years ago, we didn't have the problems we have now. Or let's put it this way, we were not aware of the problems that we have now. Here's another thing that's been going on. And you tell me if he's concerned about your welfare with his crocodile tears. I would almost bet you $1 million that he had cayenne pepper on his forefinger. Because, you know, he wiped his eyes and then the tears came. You watch the interview. Watch his face carefully. There are no tears until after he wipes his eyes, and then there's a tear down each cheek. Wah! Aw! Aw! Sob, sob, boo-hoo. B.S. Totally contrived. I wouldn't believe this man if it was Thursday and he told me it was Thursday. He has never told us the truth. He has never told us the whole truth. And remember, you can lie by representation, what you say, or by omission, what you know but you don't say, which clouds the listener's or the viewer's perception. And he does it masterfully, as do all his fellow progressives and Muslims in the White House and the various agencies that he has peopled them with. So, here's something that you probably didn't know, but he has, on one hand, trying to distract us by talking about this crackdown on immigration, this deportation that he's going to do. By the way, do you know how many people got deported last month? 121. 121. That's 121. No zeros after it. But he has authorized, contrary to the court's rulings, millions of work visas, particularly for high-end illegal aliens. And guess who that affects? You know, because he's so concerned about your welfare and your safety. It affects all of you, most of you listening to this show. Because not only does it affect blue-collar workers, it affects white-collar workers. For instance, the foreigners are now exempt from Obamacare rules. So let's see, if an employer is going to hire a guy or a gal, and they're going to have to spend all this money via the Obamacare edicts if they hire you, and they don't have to spend that money if they hire an illegal alien with one of these new work visas, who do you think they're going to hire? And then there's a $3,000 little bonus and tax credits, etc. if they don't hire you, but they hire them. And, of course, 94 million of us are out of work, which is not reflected in the 5% unemployment factor, obviously. So, once again, you're an enemy of the state, and you'll just have to take his tears because he's so concerned about your safety and your welfare at his gun control speech and his gun control town hall. And you're going to have to stack them up against all this other stuff. Release of violent criminals, release of violent illegal aliens. Oh, did I mention Fast and Furious, where his own Justice Department under Holder let out 2,000 semi-automatic weapons and rifles? Didn't even bother to track them, unlike George Bush, who, by the way, stopped his deal, at least had tracking mechanisms in the weapons, which Holder did not. Those weapons were released, people, and I will flat guarantee you this, because they knew that 2,000 weapons would create murder and mayhem along the border, and in fact, it killed that poor Terry guy, the agent, and who knows how many other people on both sides of the border, because that would help them establish and create gun control. You don't understand how important gun control is, like the next best thing to health care for progressives. Let me bring you back to 1934. Adolf Hitler. The first thing he implemented, look it up, is universal health care, is health care. And the next thing he implemented was gun registration. And the last thing he implemented was gun confiscation. This is all about taking your guns. Contrary to what this president tells us all the time, including these two occasions, the United States, out of 180 some odd quote-unquote civilized countries, a new word they've interjected in their spiel, is 109th in violent crime. Contrary to what they tell you, violent crime has been decreasing almost in proportion to the increase in the arming of the public. It's decreased by more than 40% over the last 10 years. Contrary to what they tell you, those places run by progressives, whether they be states, California, Illinois, New York, or cities, New York, Detroit, Philadelphia, Trenton, New Jersey, Los Angeles, and of course, Chicago. With the strictest gun laws, that is, the fewest proportion of the population, the good population, the non-criminal population armed, have the highest crime rates. The lowest crime rates? Wyoming. Nevada. Other than illegal alien crime, etc. These are infallible facts. And do you know where they come from? The CDC, a government agency, and the FBI, a government agency. This isn't put out by the NRA. These are government studies. His own government, and he lies to your face in the camera about him. You know, if you listen to his speech really carefully, and you should listen to the whole thing. Number one, you'll find out, and you do a little research, that this is just the first of 23 proposed executive orders. Yet he tells us that this is just a small step and the legislative branch can take it from here, because he has no plan. This is not a plot to take your guns. During the course of the speech, he talks about this is the beginning of bringing it all together. The beginning? What's coming next? I thought you didn't want to take our guns. Did you know that the 30,000 number that he cites, which by the way is high, the 30,000 number that he cites, two-thirds are suicides, folks, two-thirds. I'm rounding numbers. So 20,000 gun deaths in the United States are suicides. And he thinks these gun control laws are going to control suicides? And that has what to do with your safety? I mean, it's a tragic thing. It's something I don't understand. I mean, I just don't understand a suicide mentality. I suppose it could be drugs or you could be mortally sick and in pain. I mean, I don't know. I can't fathom it. And I'm not sure I have an opinion on whether it should be allowed or not. That's not the point of this show. The point of this show is when you whittle down all these numbers, there's like 10,000 deaths a year using his numbers, which are high, related to gun violence. And if you want to do a little research, you find out how many of those homicides are in those five major cities run by progressives with the toughest gun laws. It's eye-opening. And they don't tell you the truth. They're not interested in the truth. They're interested in accomplishing their ends, which is to disarm you. You think this guy is concerned about your safety when he releases the worst of the worst from Guantanamo, and more than 30% of them are going back into the battle, killing American soldiers, plotting attacks over here, doing propaganda for ISIS like this one guy they released 2 months ago? While he's telling you that he's concerned about your safety with his very modest gun control proposals, or as they call it, gun violence proposals, he's releasing 17 more Gitmo prisoners. 17 more. Including a guy, by the way, let me grab this just to give you an idea of the scum that he's releasing while he tries to take your guns and tells you, looking into the camera, how concerned he is about your safety. The guy's name is Haji Hamidullah. I'll just call him Haji. You know, that's kind of a fitting deal. Haji, baby. So Haji first popped up on American radar when American forces found out in like 2002 that he was smuggling shoulder-fired rockets into the Kabul airport to take down commercial airliners. And when they raided his compound in January of 2003, he had a whole bunch of them ready to go. Commercial airliners were probably spared by just a matter of days. He was also implicated in a bunch of high-profile Taliban attacks, which killed Americans. He was captured in the summer of 2003. Defense Department officials, I'm going to read this to you, determined that he had a high intelligence value and a high likelihood of returning to the fight if ever released. That is the determination of Joint Task Force Guantanamo. If Haji was ever released, innocent people would once again wind up in his crosshairs. Their latest recommendation to not release him and for ongoing detention was in 2007. Guess what? Barry, who's so concerned about your safety, is getting ready to let this guy go. He's going to Ghana. You know that little African nation over there? And there's a payoff in all this. Understand that none of these countries that are taking these despicable Arab scumbags want them. They're getting paid off. Not only is your safety being put at risk, they are taking your tax money to pay these countries off to put you at risk. That's even worse than using your money to buy their votes, although it's all the same. Now, the Pentagon's trying to stand in the way of this, but, you know, with typical Valerie Jarrett, Barry BS, those officers in the Pentagon who are trying to be patriots and trying to slow or delay or defer or stop this process are slowly being removed and replaced with yes men. Anyway, If you think this guy is concerned about your safety when he's releasing your enemies, and I might add generals, not foot soldiers, but generals of your enemy, back into the battle that is ongoing against you, then you are a fool. I can't even be nice about it. You're just a fool. I mean, by the way, I think you know that a release by Barack Obama of anybody from Gitmo is illegal. It's against the law. Congress passed a law concerning this. Of course, Congress has no cojones, but we've talked about that, and that's a whole nother topic. It is, it's a sorry state of affairs. My point here is that this gentleman is not concerned about your safety at all. Okay. He mentioned something in his speech. You know, accomplishing this won't happen overnight. Gee, wait a minute. That's another allusion to there's more to come. I thought that this was it. I thought you weren't after our guns. Oh, and then he has a whole little thing coming down, and he references it in his speech about technologies. You know, where guns will only work with the proper fingerprint or footprint or handprint or whatever. You know, those biometric measures. Boy, now that would kind of stop it, wouldn't it? Just think about this. You can go out and buy a pistol to defend yourself, but you can't ever give it to somebody else in the event of a brouhaha between the citizens and the government, which is what the founders contemplated perhaps happening with the Second Amendment. If something happened to you in battle, or you died of natural causes, or you were unable to use the weapon, nobody else could use it. Not to mention there's probably a tracking device so the government would know exactly where it is. But he's not out to disarm you. He believes 100% in the Second Amendment. Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you know that the CDC and the FBI, in the same studies I referenced before, and they were slightly ancillary studies, but same study group, estimated that there were on the minimum 500,000 and on the maximum 3.3 million occasions a year where citizens of the United States used firearms in self-defense successfully. In other words, they saved their own lives or prevented injury to themselves or to others. Now, let's do the math on this. Let's take their low number, 500,000 occasions that people stopped themselves or others from being hurt or killed using a firearm for self-defense. And let's stack that up to, using their numbers, the 10,000 folks a year that are killed by criminals or otherwise, non-suicides, by firearms. By my calculations, that means 490,000 people a year are benefited by owning firearms. 490,000 people more benefit, i.e. live or aren't seriously injured or raped, more than have the opposite. That's a pretty strong pat on the back for the Second Amendment. But Barry doesn't talk about this, nor does he talk about the studies of his own government agencies. And let me bring something else to you, to your point. And it struck me when I heard this one gal who was a rape victim address him rather harshly about how she was not going to be disarmed and how she was incensed over not only him standing in the way of her getting armed, and him standing in the way of her getting armed easily, but him exhorting, like in Virginia, I talked about this a week ago, states and localities to not allow armed people into their jurisdictions. For instance, the Virginia progressive Democrat unilateral attorney general declaring that 26 states no longer had reciprocal concealed carry rights affects 6 million people, maybe perhaps including this woman. who now must go into Virginia and be unarmed or be in violation of the law, making her far more likely to be one of the 10,000 than one of the 490,000. And you know what I think? I think for all the BS that the progressives throw away, including despicable pillory and Barack Obama and their multitudes of progressive whatevers, I think that is a huge slapdown to women. You talk about women's rights? How about the right not to get raped? How about the right to defend yourself if you're attacked? Here's a startling statistic that everybody knows that nobody on the progressive side wants to talk about. The average man has 50% more muscle mass than the average woman. And the average man weighs, give or take, 1.5 to 2.5 times more than the average woman. That means he's stronger and bigger than the average woman. Now, last time I checked, the best way to equalize it, unless you have a black belt in karate, is a gun. A weapon. It's an equalizer. It's kind of like a basic woman's right to equalization. And it seems that the progressives want to take that away from you, gals. Tell me about the war on women. Please. Pillory. Who's not only in favor of Barry's gun nonsense, but promising to do more if she gets elected. So she's concerned about women, but she doesn't want women to be able to defend themselves. Wow. Pretty amazing. I'll let you guys, you women, decipher all that. And then he used the phrases in his speeches and in the, and I'm running over, my producer's gesturing frantically at me. Then he's using the phrases, let me see, what exactly did he say? Oh, yes, most gun owners agree. BS! Cite me that. Here's the deal, Barry. Virtually no gun owner agrees with you. Period. And trying to tell us about universal background checks and expanding background checks to online sales. Guess what? Online sales have required background checks for more than a decade. What a bunch of crap. This is nonsense. This is leading to registration, folks. And registration leads to confiscation. A la Australia, which he has often cited as an example of what he would like to do here. And Britain, another example he has cited. And Communist China, another example. In fact, he talked about Communist China and the fact that a guy that went crazy with a knife and stabbed 23 people didn't kill anybody during his two make me puke sessions this past week. Let me leave you with one last thought. One of the things the progressives love to do, and he says it over and over and over and over and over again. If we could just save one life, if we can just save one family from grieving, we should do this. Well, think about all the grieving families from all those instances of him taking actions or failing to take actions that I listed out in this show, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, that have resulted in American injury, American death, and American tragedy at the hands of criminals or at the hands of terrorists. Think about him disarming women so that they cannot defend themselves. And think about this. What about the lives that one person with a gun might save in a situation? In other words, we should not be thinking about the one person we might save by disarming the public. We should think about the thousands of people that have been and will be saved by a public that is well armed. As always, these guys have it exactly backwards. And it's for a reason. And it's not your safety. It is to disarm you. Stay alert. Write your congressional representatives. Raise holy hell. And they need to be stopped in their tracks. They're going to be desperate this year, folks. This is their last year to maybe ram this thing through. If we stop them now, we've probably stopped them for a long time. And the fate of this republic, and absolutely the security of you and your family, hang in the balance. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.